Hello, Sean.
Oh. How are you doing, Brother David?
I'm blessed. How about you?
I am blessed, too. You might hear a crying baby in the background. That's the Lord's little miracles there, Gabriel.
Sure. We anybody headed towards the wilderness is going to have to get used to having babies around, right?
Yep.
So praise be to God. Thank God for the babies.
Yep.
I'm glad mine are already raised, though. I'm praise God for that. It was a great tribulation, but I made it.
Yep. Lord is definitely showing me a lot about how to be a father and just how to raise kids. It's definitely a learning experience.
Gives you a whole new appreciation for your Heavenly Father, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does.
Well, what are you going to share with us? Share something with us, brother.
Well, I definitely want to share about the twins because it's been a miracle, two miracles in fact, and I kind of want to do a little prelude. A year and a half ago, my niece, she came down with pneumonia, and she actually went to the hospital. My mom ended up calling me up and saying that it was pretty severe and that it sounded like that she was in a pretty severe condition. And, you know, the Lord always prepares me for things that are going to come up in advance. And so my first thought was fear rose up in me. And then the next thought, you know, is what the Lord had me accept. It was like, well, why don't you go and lay hands on your niece and cast that spirit of pneumonia out of her? I was like, wow, you know, that's pretty, it agreed with my spirit. So I remember being at work and actually I think I left early and I drove about 2 hours away from where my brother was in the hospital. And when I got in there, I saw my niece and she looked pretty blue and it looked pretty intense. And you know, my first thought, again, fear rose up within me, but the Lord had me cast that thought down. And my brother was pretty upset at the time. And, you know, I went over there and I said, the Lord's going to heal this baby. And, you know, I laid hands on her and I agreed that the spirit of pneumonia leave. And within 10 minutes, I mean, it seemed like 10 to 15 minutes that her face that appeared blue was no longer blue. And I was looking around and I was thinking to myself, her face is no longer blue. And, you know, I didn't know if I was the only one seeing it, but the Lord had me confirm this. My brother's wife came in and he looked at her and she goes, well, wow, her face doesn't look as blue as it used to be. And so I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, the Lord really confirmed that to me. And a week later, she was out of the hospital. Well, it seems to me that the Lord has, you know, kind of prepared me for things coming. I mean, you know, numerous things like that. But when I was actually at work and my wife was pregnant with the twins, and she called me up and told me that her water had broke and that she was going into the hospital. And, you know, our first initial thought, you know, was that they told her that she'd be put on bed rest until 32 weeks where she would give, you know, that was the plan that she would give birth in 32 weeks. So she was on bed rest for a couple weeks, and, you know, the whole plan was that, you know, we would wait it out for the 32 weeks and then have the boys. Well, before all this happened, the Lord kind of put it in my spirit. He told me, you know, this is going to be a long trial, and you're going to have to endure many things. And I felt that in my spirit and agreed with me. And, you know, on 25 weeks, my wife, she gave birth prematurely, and they had to do a C-section, and the boys came out, and they were only a pound at the time of the birth. I think Gabriel, and my wife's looking at me, I might be wrong about this, but I think Gabriel was a pound 14 ounces, and Ian was a pound 8 ounces. So, but they were both under a pound, and I remember when I looked at them for the first time, I'm like, wow. I mean, they could fit in the cup of my hand. I mean, they were so tiny. And, you know, the Lord, it's just amazing of what the Lord did. I mean, how much peace He gave me when they came, when they were born, because I knew there was going to be many tribulations coming up. And of course, you know, the first thing that was told to me, Ian, he was the, he came down with a, I think it's called, a brain bleed and a meningitis, which is very severe for a boy his age to have. And I, you know, went up there, and they were telling me the first thing that happened was the nurse told me about Ian and how sick he really was. And I just felt the Holy Spirit rise up within me and, you know, tell her that he's not sick, you know, and that the Lord has healed him. And, you know, she kind of looked at me strangely, like, well, he is sick, and, you know, he's lucky to be alive this far, basically. And then the doctor pulled me aside. He brought me into the other room, and he again explained to me how sick both the boys were and gave them not much chance to even live, let alone have a decent life, you know, ahead of them. And he explained to me all the medical problems. You know, Ian had the brain bleed, the meningitis, you know, that they might not see, they might not walk. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, I waited for about 30 minutes for him to, you know, stop talking. And then I just told him, you know, I believe the whole, I felt the Spirit rise up within me again and give me peace. And I told him that I believe the Lord has healed him. You know, and because I've been, you know, before, I've been through some trials where the Lord has healed my body and my mind, and I know the Lord wants a testimony and a witness in front of many people, and I knew that this is what the Lord was telling to me. And throughout the whole time, Ian, they had to, you know, he would get better, and then they would say that, you know, he's really sick. He came down with, I think it's called ROP, which they said is an extra heart valve. And he ended up getting, you know, sick again with that. And I kept having to, you know, tell the doctors. I mean, it seemed like I told every doctor that the Lord has healed him. I mean, time and time and time again. I mean, the Lord kept putting me through the fire. And, you know, and he would get better, and then something else would come on. I mean, it was just, he had pneumonia 6 times, not to mention the brain bleed, which, and the meningitis, and in which he got better from that, which, you know, they ended up telling my wife that he was lucky to be alive with that. And, you know, I just felt like the Lord, you know, the whole time that, that the Lord was going to heal him, and that, you know, that, you know, and it wasn't me, and it was not me, it's not my flesh. I mean, it was totally the Spirit of God rising up within me, because through, I mean, being in that situation, it's not me anymore. I mean, it's God rising up within me, because, I mean, everything that was thrown at us was just amazing. And then I was, as Ian got better and better, Gabriel started coming down with some things as well, and he had a belly infection, and he ended up having that 3 times. And the 3rd time, which was the more severe time, I was going into work, which I was actually away from where I live in here in Michigan. I was about an hour away, and my wife called me on my cell phone, and she told me that they wanted to do a belly surgery, and which at that age, that, you know, if they were to do that, the chances of Gabriel coming through are just, they're not good. And we got off the phone. I prayed with her on the phone, and I asked the Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? And, you know, the Spirit rose up within me, and He said, you know, just go to work. You know, I will take care of Gabriel. And I felt an overwhelming peace come upon me again, and I felt like I could go into work, and the Lord, so I just went into work, and I ended up working, and I just, you know, the Lord showed me that, you know, that he was going to take care of it and they weren't going to do surgery. And, you know, this was, you know, the most amazing part is that, you know, I was at work and my wife called me and she said the doctor who said that, you know, apparently his belly had perfed. I don't understand the whole going well, but he had looked at it and said that they did need to do major operation. The surgeons came in and they looked at it and they said, you know, it wasn't there. And this was after I had done praying and that, you know, that he didn't need surgery. And I was just like, praise God, you know, God in heaven, because, you know, it really was something that, you know, it wasn't me. And, you know, it was definitely the Lord rising up within me and giving me the bold words to speak and to talk and, you know, even share with my wife, you know, that everything's going to be all right. I mean, I don't know how many times people told us that your babies aren't going to make it, you know. I mean, it just continually bringing in that your babies aren't going to make it and continually bringing the bad report. And, you know, it just seemed nonstop. And not to mention, you know, the Lord healed Gabriel of his eyes through this whole time. Apparently, you know, the eye doctor had come in and he looked at Gabriel's eyes and apparently they thought that he was going to need to have laser surgery on his eyes. And, you know, he ended up getting sick at the same time. And so, apparently they were also thinking that he was going to be blind. Not, and my other boy as well. They were saying that they were both severely, you know, that they were going to end up being blind and that, you know, they weren't really telling it to us, but they were, later on I found out, you know, they told my wife that, you know, that it was a miracle. You know, the eye doctor said it was a miracle and, for Gabriel being that sick, you know, at the time, and not having him being blind. And I remember praying to the Lord, you know, asking the Lord to heal his eyes. And, you know, it was maybe a week later after he had come down with his sickness, they were checking his eyes. And I was looking at the doctor, and he looked puzzled in his face. I mean, he kept looking over it, and he's like, can this really be happening? Am I really seeing what I'm seeing? And he said something to my wife. I can't remember what he said, but he said that it had actually gotten better, like his eyes had gotten better, you know, and he was shocked. And he looked at Ian's eyes, and they had gotten better as well. And then I could see tears in his eyes, and he's like, you know, I thought that, you know, we were both going to, I thought that these boys, I was really concerned with these boys, and that, you know, that they were going to, their eyes were going to be, you know, not there. And, you know, praise Jesus, because it just, you know, I mean, right in front of many witnesses, the Lord did a miraculous, I mean, completely healed his eyes. I mean, it's just amazing.
Amen.
And so it just, especially, you know, with them being the way they were, I mean, it's just being a pound, and both of them being a pound, and it's just, I mean, I'm in awe by the power of the Lord. You know, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, a couple days before they left, because they were telling us that, you know, that there was going to be all sorts of problems, you know, with the boys and mentally or, you know, whatever. They did MRIs on their brains, and they came out normal, and they came out fine with that. And, you know, right now I got two healthy boys here at home. They're perfectly normal. They're perfectly fine. Both their eyes are intact. And I tell you what, there's no way that they could be where they're at by right now without the power of the Lord. And, you know, I did get in the flesh a couple times, and both the boys had surgeries that I prayed against. But, you know, the Lord showed me something through that. And I remember calling a brother because I was pretty frustrated. I'm like, you know, Lord, I've seen you you know, I've seen it openly, you doing miraculous signs right in front of me. And I was like, why didn't this not happen? And, you know, I prayed before I called him. I'm like, Lord, can you talk to me through this? And I explained the situation to this brother. And, you know, the first thing that came out of his mouth was because of your unbelief. And, you know, and it just dawned on me. And then the Lord showed me another verse, you know, about Peter walking on water, how he got his eyes on the wind and the waves. And I was like, did I do that, Lord? And I'm like, and I thought, okay, I did do that. I started getting my eyes on the situation, and I started to sink. But praise be to God, he pulled me up out of the water. So, and then he gave me faith to stand on. And, you know, not only that, throughout this whole 8 months of this trial, I haven't been able to work as much as I'd like. And, you know, the Lord has shown me to, you know, whatever you get, you know, try and give. And it hasn't always been that way. I haven't done that as much as I, you know, I've gotten into trouble in the past, you know, with debt and whatever, but the Lord has healed me of that. And, you know, it was one miraculous sign after the other. You know, I remember there was a few times, and one time in particular, I had no income for the next week or no way to get to work, no gas money, no nothing. And I sat down with a few brothers. We were listening to the Bible study, and I remembered something that, you know, David had talked about before, you know, giving and receiving and giving. And so the Lord has put that in my heart to give. And I just something came into my mind that the Lord put there is like, you know, command a check to be in the mail, the next day. And, you know, sure enough, there was a check from a brother who sent a check all the way across the country, you know, that supplied our needs for that week. And, you know, I later talked with this brother, and, you know, he told me, he's like, you know, I sent that on a day when, you know, the post office was closed, and it got there on Monday. You know, and he's like, that is a miracle. And he ended up telling his wife, and he's like, you know, that is an absolute miracle. And I'm thinking, you know, that is a miracle, because I had no way of having any means for the following week. And not only did he done that, you know, that time, he's done that, you know, just recently he did that again. I mean, it's just been, and I'm in a position at my work where I'm forced to trust in the Lord and, you know, being on commission and just waiting for the Lord to provide my needs. And so, it's just been amazing, what the Lord has done, you know, how he's always paid our bills, you know, and he's provided us with food. And I'm so thankful for the Lord and everything. And, you know, like I said, I got two healthy babies. I got, you know, I mean, he's really been awesome through this whole thing. And,
well, you have to be careful there, Sean. You can rush those angels a little too fast. They bypass the post office, and you won't get them post-dated, right?
Yep.
So how much do those babies weigh now?
Well, it's Gabriel is up to, I think he's up to, is it 15 pounds? You know, a little over 14. And then Ian is up to, is he? Yeah, Ian's almost 16 pounds. He's a healthier boy.
All right. And that's that's Diana speaking in the background, folks.
Yep. That's And boy, she's been like a rock with me too on this whole thing, and it's just been amazing.
Well, what's the moral of this story, Sean? It seems to me like, just hold fast the confession of your hope, but it waver not, because he's faithful to promise, right?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because, yeah, that's exactly, you know, and it's hold fast, and the Lord just recently pointed this out to me, and he's like, you know, that's how you bear fruit. That's how you hold fast to the confession, and you know, trust in me, and until it manifests. And, you know, even with the trials that I've been been through before. I mean, it hasn't always been answered right away. I mean, it and scripturally, you know, the Lord says that he's working patience in us through these many trials. And, you know, it's just trusting in the Lord, because it's not me. I mean, this is, I'm very weak in the flesh, and anyone who knows me knows that. I mean, it's God taking over and trusting in the Lord that he's going to meet the need. I mean, if God can save my boys who were only a pound, and they had everything. I mean, the devil threw everything and the kitchen sink at them. You know, I mean, it was impossible for them to be here normal right now. I mean, and even they, all the doctors said that. And that there's no way that, you know, that they could be doing this good, or they could have this normal life. It's, and even live through what they lived through. You know, Ian had pneumonia 6 times. I mean, being a pound, and, you know, both of them had the brain bleeds and meningitis, and my wife knows more about that, but, you know, she tells me it's really severe, and I believe her, you know, and, you know, just going through what they went through, I mean, the Lord really, you know, did a wonderful job, and, you know, there are many prayers answered through that, through this. You know, there's been, you know, through the ministry, there's been many people that, you know, Brother William, Kevin and Holly Ray, you know, the Stanleys, and you, Brother David, and all the prayers of the saints. You know, there's a lot of prayers answered through this. And I just thank you for all your prayers, because, you know, my boys want to be here right now through prayer, and they, you know, just, they're real testimony to what the Lord's strength is. And it's, yeah, I was looking up Gabriel's name the other day, and it found out that his name meant God is my strength. And what more can, you know, that, I mean, that's a perfect meaning for him, because it, you know, he was being a pound and having everything that the devil threw, and that the, you know, it was God who was his strength. And, you know, and I just thank you, Jesus, for this. I mean, it's just amazing.
Hey, man, that's awesome, Sean. And, you know, Jesus said, everything you pray for, believe you received it. That's what he said, Mark 11:24. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. You know, I think most all praying parents pray for these things before the baby comes, right? You pray for a healthy baby. You pray for the blessings of God. Well, we know what comes next when you pray, the trial of your faith. Right? And what is that?
Right.
Well, the bad report. I mean, you know, men are famous for their bad reports, right? They come and tell you, because they don't walk by faith, they come and tell you what they see and what they feel and what they hear, you know, like the spies that came out of the promised land, right? And
right.
So we're supposed to expect that bad report and be ready for it. And when it comes, we continue to believe we have received. And we have to, of course, confess him before men in that situation. And we have to tell them, no, that, doctor, this baby will be just fine. Now, don't worry. There won't be a problem. Don't worry. Their eyes are healed. Don't worry. Because I prayed. And I believe, right? And, you know, what does the Word say? That's what we have to do. We have to fall back on what does the Word say. First thing that hits you when you get a trial of your faith is, that's not what I prayed for. Yeah, but what you prayed for is what you're going to receive in the end if you endure unto the end to be saved, right? So, you can expect that when you pray, you may see some things contrary to what you prayed for, but that's seeing things, you see. And we call the things that be not as though they were, and we see the end from the beginning, and we speak the end from the beginning. And in most cases, that's exactly what you did, Sean, is you spoke the end from the beginning, you know, and you held fast your confession. And when you didn't, you learned a lesson, didn't you? So praise be to God. And, you know, I say that's a great testimony, and You know, what does the Word say when you get in a situation like that, folks? I mean, you are blessed above all the peoples on the face of the earth. You are the children of Abraham. And the Bible says Jesus became cursed that you might have the blessings of Abraham. And the Bible says, by the way, that he was blessed in all things. And, of course, we have to stand strong to receive those blessings, just like when they went into the promised land. They had to not confess what they saw, felt, and heard, but what God said. And that's what Joshua and Caleb did. You know, they confessed, what did God say? What did God say? And what did I pray for anyway? You know, I mean, when you pray for something, just remember, God is big enough to bring that to pass. But if you give in on the first trial of your faith, you will never see that. And the problem will not be God's, it will be yours, you know. So remember that we have to be tried. What God is doing is he's weaning us away from walking by sight and by feelings. You can't walk as a son of God and walk by sight and by feelings. You have to hold fast to what thus saith the Lord. And if the Lord said, I'll give you what you believe for, then you have to continue to believe all the way through that trial of your faith, all the way out the other side. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved, not he that gives up in the middle, right? He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, thank you so much. Sean, anything else you want to share with us?
I just wanted to touch on one last thing here, and it's one of my favorite verses, and David, I know you bring this up a lot, this psalm. It's Psalm 41, and that was a big comfort to me. And I had a brother who actually told me that, you know, I had a lot of people that, you know, had prayed for me and had told me that, you know, Ian, and I got to admit, you know, I was fearing a little bit, and I wasn't casting down all the thoughts that I needed to do. And I did let doubt come in on a couple occasions. And one of the brothers came up to me, and he gave me, you know, it was just put in his heart to give me this psalm. And it's my favorite psalm, and it's just a big piece for me, because the Lord has put it in my heart for several years now to, you know, to meet the needs of the people around me. And it's not me, it's the Lord who's, you know, given me the, you know, putting that in my heart. And he makes some awesome promises for people who meet the needs of the people around them. And, you know, one thing that this brother, he came up and he gave me this psalm, and it was Psalm 41. And I'll just read the first few verses here. And it's, blessed is he who considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the day of evil. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And deliver not thou him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will support him upon the couch of his languishing, and make it all his bed in his sickness. And he came up to me, and he's like, you know what, I want to share that verse with you, because the Lord gave it to me to you. And I don't believe Ian's going to die. And, you know, that was a tremendous comfort to me, because, you know, and in Scripture, you know, the Lord has put it in my heart to get into Scripture and to find a promise. And, you know, if I'm not into Scripture, the Lord will bring somebody to tell me to get into Scripture. And so, you know, the Lord kept promises in my heart throughout that whole time. And he made me stick upon them. He said, you know, you're gonna stick upon these promises, and I'm gonna bring it to pass. So, I just wanted to share that, and God bless you, family of God, and I love you, and Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I think Bill has a question for you, Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing good. This was a tremendous trial you went through, and I think it's even more than what you're saying. One point that I'd like to bring out is the fact that maybe you learned through this trial that as the father, that even when those two children were still in the womb, they were still your responsibility, and you still had authority over those two children. And in this trial, that I believe the system tried to take that authority away from you, but you didn't let it happen, did you?
Yeah, and, you know, that's, they did. And on one occasion, you know, the Lord, and this was one of the most severe trials that I've been through ever, and with Ian, my wife and I had come to an agreement that we did not want to do surgery. And we had talked with, you know, several brethren, and I remember talking to you, and I actually remember, you know, what happened was is, you know, I got in the flesh, and the doctor said, you know, he brought us into this room and he told us, you know, everything that was wrong with Ian's heart, and that he wasn't breathing right. And at that moment, I got in the flesh and I said, you know, I had come to, you know, agreement with the Lord that, you know, the Lord showed me he didn't want surgery, you know. And I come to the, you know, agreement that I wasn't going to do it. Well, at that moment, I told the doctor that, you know, yeah, I wanted surgery done. Later that night, you know, I was, you know, I felt that, that, you know, I had talked with my wife, and we decided that, you know, what we had done after, you know, talking with several of the brethren, you know, that what we had, you know, done is that, you know, we needed to stick by what the Lord had already said, thus saith the Lord. And so we went back and we ended up telling the doctor that, you know, we did not want surgery. And the very next day, you know, I was at work, and, you know, he was shocked when we said this to him too. He was very, we could see it in his eyes. Like, what? You know, I mean, you know, basically, you know, saying that, you know, that, you know, you're basically giving your boy a death sentence. And we were, you know, at that time I was, you know, I had talked with a few brethren and I repented and I told them that, you know, I had given in the fear. The Lord gave me a word of faith, a word of knowledge from an elder through the ministry, and I stuck by that. And I said, you know what, we're going to stand by the word. And I don't care, you know, I'm trusting in the Lord. And the very next day they had, I was at work, and I ended up going into the hospital on my lunch break, and they had actually cornered my wife, and there was a doctor, a chaplain, and a social worker who were talking to her. And the chaplain who actually worked there actually called me in the morning and basically was trying to convince me that, you know, this was the Lord's way now, and that, you know, why are you doing this? I mean, basically, he wanted to find out why I was, why was I not going through with the surgery? And I shared with him some more, you know, I shared with him some words, and, you know, that I believe that the Lord Jesus heals. And he didn't accept that. And so they were all there, and they were talking with my wife and, you know, trying to convince us that we needed to have the surgery. And, you know, the first thing I said, you know, and I believe this from my heart, that, you know, no matter what happens, I believe that the Lord is healed. Because they had told me that they didn't need my, whatever I said didn't matter, because they would get a court order and, you know, do the surgery anyways. So basically, you know, I had told them that, you know, it doesn't matter. I believe the Lord has healed him and Ian is going to live. And I said that in front of them, and I left it at that. And they couldn't, you know, the Lord had shown me to be dogmatic and stubborn. And so they ended up, you know, doing the surgery anyway without our, you know, permission. And the Lord, I mean, he showed me a lot through that, you know, that with him. And I remember talking you know, through Brother William, and Brother William told me that, you know, this is not done. You know, the Lord always wins. And that stuck by my mind more than anything, because, you know what, the Lord always wins. And, you know, I mean, the end of the book, the Lord wins, and the Lord's going to win in this trial. And, you know, sure enough, a few weeks later, Gabriel had come down with a belly infection again, and they said that he needed to have eye surgery, and that he needed to have belly surgery. And this was when I was on my way to work, and, you know, I just prayed and asked the Lord for them to do surgery, and they ended up not doing surgery with Gabriel. The doctor could not find anything. And, you know, after he had said that he had found something that, you know, that they needed to do a major intestinal surgery on a boy who was a pound. And, you know, and also his eyes being healed at that same time, because both the doctor and the nurse told me that, you know, that he was going to have surgery, and they were telling each other that he was going blind. So the Lord healed Gabriel right in front of everyone. And before Gabriel came home, you know, nurses were saying he was going to die, and the Lord, you know, he had me stick by, you know, even up until the end, you know, that the Lord was going to heal him, and he did. And, you know, it just, you know, just having people tell me that Ian was going to live, and that no matter what he went through, and that Gabriel is the same way, you know, it just hung on to that, and reading scripture and the promises, you know, I just hung on to that until the end, and the Lord brought them both home, and they're completely healed, and, you know, I can't wait to see them get older and, you know, get stronger and healthier and play and teach them the scriptures, because it's just been really awesome. And so,
amen. That's a blessing, brother. That's a blessing. Well, thank you so much, Sean, for sharing that. I'm sure you encouraged a lot of people to hold fast to their faith. You know, and the reason people can encourage Sean and say that those boys are going to live is because that's according to the Word, you know. And we can tell people according to the Word. You're healed. You're blessed. You're delivered. It's up to them to believe that, but we can encourage them and tell them what the Word says, and God will bring it to pass. If they believe it, God will bring it to pass. It's just like when God speaks, you know, folks. When He speaks, what activates those words is your faith, your confession. You're acting upon what He says. And God is faithful to His Word. Well, thank you so much, Sean, and we appreciate your blessing there.
Thank you, Brother David, and thank you, William, as well. Thank you all.
Amen.
Blessings upon you all. Amen.